next night we celebrate the third Sunday of Advent, called in Latin Gaudete Sunday, which means rejoice. It comes to us from the second reading that we are to rejoice always in the Lord. Why this Sunday? Well, it's sort of a halfway point between the beginning of Advent and Christmas. And since Advent is a time of penance, a time of deep reflection on serious, serious things, the first coming of Christ and the next coming of Christ, the Church puts this Sunday in here as a type of rejoicing, a lighter Sunday. This is why it calls for a different color vestment, a rose color vestment. The same thing happens in Lent. So on this Sunday, we are to rejoice always in the Lord. This is something we have to sort of make a mental process about, huh? A mental calculation that we should be doing this, that we should have reason to be joyful because the Lord has come. And what does that mean? Well, for the Old Testament people, God had prepared them in various ways for a great mystery. Now, they didn't know exactly what this mystery was going to be. They knew it involved Elijah, the great prophet of the Old Testament. They knew it involved the prophet and the Christ, or in English, the Anointed One, in Hebrew, the Messiah. So these three in the Old Testament are always being brought up in various ways by various prophecies. How Isaiah himself says, "But the Lord himself has anointed me to proclaim the good news." Now, those words will be said by Jesus in his hometown of Nazareth. And what will be the people's response? Well, at first it's, "Oh, wonderful, Jesus, those are wonderful words." Yes, they're spoken of the prophet, of the Messiah. Yes, way to go, Jesus. But then he says, "These words you hear are fulfilled." Well, those could only be fulfilled by the Messiah, by the Anointed One. And so they tried to kill Jesus. So those words are tinged with sadness, so to speak, but great happiness, because Jesus is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies, and he is at once the prophet and the Christ, the Messiah. The prophet was the one Moses told the Jewish people, that a prophet like him will come amongst you, and he will speak the very words of God. And if you don't listen to those words, God will punish you. And so every generation one is wondering who the prophet could be. Who is this Messiah, the Anointed One? Well, Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ. He is the one who is to come into the world. And he was heralded by John the Baptist. Now, Old Testament, before the Messiah would come, Elijah would come. So they were wondering whether John was Elijah. And in fact, Jesus tells us plainly, if you can accept it, he is Elijah. That is, the one who is to come before the Messiah. And so we get this also at the cross, where the Jews had crucified Jesus, huh? And what were the words of Jesus from the cross? He says in Aramaic in one translation, in one gospel, in Hebrew the other, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" And then somebody from the crowd says, "Look, he's calling for Elijah. Because Elijah must come before the Messiah." That's not what Jesus was doing. Jesus was citing scripture to them, specifically Psalm 22, that begins with those words, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" But then it ends in a very triumphal note that the Anointed One will be the victor. And Jesus is the Anointed One. Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, and the prophet that was to come into the world. Jesus fulfills all of this. And so one would anticipate, well, certainly if he is the Christ, the Messiah, the prophet, this will be a triumphal entry. Everybody will recognize it. He'll come as a mighty king. But however, how does he come? He comes to us as a little baby, born in a stable in Bethlehem. So meek is our God. He doesn't want to come with all his power and glory that he could come with. He comes to us very, very gently to touch our hearts. And what did we do to this little baby who grew up to be a man? We nailed him to the cross. But there yet he fulfills Scripture. He fulfills his mission. Because that's why he came into the world. He came into the world to take on sin, opening up the gates of heaven, and incorporating now the Gentiles in with the Jews into the new covenant. That's why we rejoice. God has done this for us. We haven't done it for ourselves. This is a great good that he has given to us. So the church commands us to rejoice about all of this. Yes, Advent is a time of penance, a time of sadness. Yes, we are anticipating the coming of Christmas. It's not here yet. But in a very real way, we are to celebrate and rejoice always in the Lord. For he has saved us from our sins. And this is what we celebrate at Christmas time. When it came time to celebrate the birth of Jesus, the nativity of Jesus, there was no greater way to celebrate than by having the Mass. If there was a greater celebration we could attend or perform, the church would have done it. But there is none. This is why the Mass at Christmas time is the highest celebration of Christmas. There's no worthier way to celebrate Christmas than by coming to Mass on Christmas. After all, it means Christ's Mass. So we are to prepare for this great day. Hopefully you went to confession this past week when we had our parish mission here. There will be no communal penance service here or at St. Isaac Jogues before Christmas. The next penance services will be at St. Anthony's in Poopstead on Tuesday evening, then at Holy Family starting at 5:30. So please plan well for the great celebration of Christmas. But always in the back of your mind, and even in the front of your mind, rejoice.